now.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Good morning and welcome to the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. This is Jim Russ. I'm Schertzless again today. The doc is away on business, I think. I'm not sure. We'll find out next week where he's been. It's always very interesting to figure where the doc is when he's not here. But this is the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. And we will start today, as we always do, by diving into your questions sent to us via email. In the mailbag.
It's also been an interesting week for Stratford University.
A huge week for Stratford University.
Yes, indeed. This last week, we had the grand opening of the Woodbridge campus.
And you're now a local media celebrity because of it. You were all over News Channel 8.
News Channel 8 came out to cover it, and they did a great job for us. We actually had in that campus down there, it's just south of Potomac Mills Mall, we had a grand opening of 200 or 300 people attended it, and we had State Delegate Bulova gave a presentation and read a letter from Governor Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulating the school. We also had State Senator Linda Puller talk to the group and talk about Stratford University, and Corey Stewart, the chairman of the Prince William Board of Supervisors, was there. And said some very nice things about Stratford. We had several mayors there, many county and city supervisors. We had people from four embassies, among them the Embassy of India, Embassy of Laos, and some other ones. It was covered by News Channel 8, as you said. It did a great, great job.
Yes, and the link to that video is on the website.
It is.
It is.
If you go to the Stratford .edu website, and you can go to current events. You can click on the current events, and you'll see the video, the News Channel 8 video.
Yep.
On the Stratford website. Now, we spent a lot of time designing that building down at Woodbridge, and you do that in a way that affects the learning environment. And there's been a lot of research on space planning, and we provided long vistas, a lot of glass in the building, because that provides an environment that's very favorable for learning.
Temperature is important too, isn't it?
Yeah, temperature is very important. We have individual temperature zones all over the entire building. It's very, very well regulated. We have high ceilings. There has been research that says if you're in a high ceiling room, you're more creative. So all the ceilings in the building are 10-foot ceilings, because that gives a better a better learning environment. They've done studies that show you're more creative when you're in a room with a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
We have very proper light levels, high white light levels. We have clustered furniture to make it very, very user-friendly. The building is a green building, and we spent a lot of time designing the system. We have a hydronic HVAC system. Hydronic, that just means there's a liquid loop running around the building, and we've got
a liquid loop,
which actually is a heat exchange loop. And so we have air conditioning units in the ceiling, and instead of having a heat exchanger outside, the heat exchanger exchanges energy with the liquid in the loop, and the liquid loop just goes through the building. And normally a building such as this, one side of it is hot and the other side is cold because of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So the liquid loop transfers heat from one side of the building to the other. So during the transition seasons, you use substantially less energy. So the hydronic systems are extremely efficient.
That's pretty neat.
We have smart lighting. You walk in a room, the lighting turns on and off. The lighting is regulated based on who's there. There's on-demand air delivery in the rooms. Each room has a CO2 sensor in it, so that senses the number of people in the room, and based on the load in the room, it will deliver the appropriate amount of conditioned air. The hoods in our kitchen, we have four production kitchens on the top, on the third floor, and those are on-demand hoods. They're basically, you turn on a stove, and the segment that is above that stove, only that segment turns on, and it turns on based on the demand. So the more the more burners you turn on, the more the hood, is active. And so with this on-demand hood system, it's very, it's a very efficient use. We've got variable speed motors everywhere, so you basically have high efficiency unit. There's also, we have two heat extractors on the ceiling, or on the roof. These heat extractors are about the size of a couple of dumpsters.
Wow.
And medium-sized dumpsters. And what they do, because you pull so much air into the building and then you have to extract air from the building in order to provide a lot of fresh airflow for the classrooms, before we expel the air, we extract all the energy from it and we put that energy back in the hydronic loop. So it's a green building. We had a lot of fun designing it, and it's good for the environment, and it's also a good environment for the students to learn. We've got all of our programs down there: culinary arts, health sciences, computer information systems, business administration, accounting, software engineering, information systems, right up through the graduate level. And you can find out all about that by going to www.stratford.edu. But we had such a great time. 300 people were there. We had all of the speeches. We had the ribbon-cutting ceremony, which is sponsored by the Prince William Chamber of Commerce. And then we went up to the third floor, and we had this beautiful presentation by the Culinary Arts Department.
Just about to ask you about that, because in the new Channel 8 piece, there was one of your students there making food. I figured you had some pretty awesome stuff to eat.
Oh, it was. We've got a large dining room on the third floor, and it was just filled with all kinds of wonderful hors d'oeuvres and meats and everything. And the Culinary Arts Department did a great job. It was really well presented, well organized, and so it was really the first time we'd used that facility for a food service event, and we were just so pleased with how it came out. So I'm still riding a little high after that event.
I'll bet you are.
It was really a great time. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the guy who's known as the Walt Disney of electronic gaming.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This should be good.
Yeah, this guy has been behind, he's the guy behind Mario, Mario of electronic gaming and many other things. Talk something about spam. The first quarter, spam was down about 30% from what it was last year.
Why do you think that was?
Because they knocked off a major spam ISP back in November of 2008. But now it's being replaced by zombies. Zombies
are up as spam is down. Yeah. I'd rather have spam myself.
Yeah, so I'll talk about how, and this the I mean this is real. I'll talk about how they knocked Micolo off. That was the company they knocked off last November. Because now I can talk about the impact that had on the spam. Windows 7 finally released. We'll talk a little bit about that. It was released in its beta version. Monday, they're going to launch the rescue mission for Hubble. The last servicing mission for Hubble, and that's kind of an interesting thing. And also, I want to talk about some long-term trends in innovation. This is kind of a theme I've been talking about because I think it affects government policy, and it's important for the United States. I really got into this. I was I went to reception this last week. I'm a finalist in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, and I went to a reception for all the finalists last Thursday, and I started talking to all of these other business owners, and these are a lot of dot-coms, and really it's just a nice bunch of people there who are all finalists. I had a great evening, but the theme was what's happening to the future of the United States? How are we going to compete in the world economy? What's happening if we bail out certain industries, how can we still innovate? And so this really gets to how is the United States going to position itself to be an innovator, to be a job creator? And it really does impact policy, and I thought I'll go into that a little bit because I had some pretty spirited discussions at that Entrepreneur of the Year banquet a couple of days ago.
So you got another one to go to where the winner will be announced,
I'll talk a little bit about that.
Did I put you on the spot?
No. The winner is going to be announced, I think, June 18th. And they run all the the applicants through various interviews. It started out with 100 applicants. I'll tell you how it works. There were 100 applicants, and you don't nominate yourself. Other people nominate you. So there are about 100 people nominated, and some folks that we work with actually nominated me. And then they had, based on those written applications, they winnowed it down to 50 who would be interviewed. And about a month ago, they sent out 4 people to interview all 50. Based on that preliminary interview and the written application, then they selected 21 finalists in the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And then last Thursday, they gave another 7-minute interview for all 21. It was like speed dating. I mean, they go in, you get 7 minutes, and boom, you're in and out. And so everybody went in and talked to this committee of 8 for about 7 minutes. And then the next week, there's going to be a small video vignette made of all the finalists. Mm-hmm. And I think based on all of that, they're going to come up with some selection as to who will be the Entrepreneur of the Year. And really, I was looking at the list of the companies that and the people that are nominated. It's a great group of people. Just an honor being within that group.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to this.
Good
luck. I've learned quite a bit about the event and the process, and I'm really excited about it.
Having your own university and 2 campuses, that's no small feat. So, I mean, certainly well-deserved and well-earned.
Now, I can tell you the thing that impressed the state delegates and state senator down at the open house was the fact that we built that campus with no tax money.
Exactly.
We built it
all
out
private
of total
funds.
Total private funds. We're starting health science programs. We'll be starting many high demand fields down there to meet the needs of Prince William County, and we're not asking Richmond for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in this time of severe budget crunch, it's really important. I think it really shows that the private sector can step up and meet the needs of the population without going in and requiring the taxpayers to carry the freight.
Well, and certainly you being there is an asset to the Commonwealth, and you add to the tax base.
It's certainly true. Well, now
we
it
have...
is time for...
There's a letter in your
That's
mailbox!
Right. Dear Tech Talk, this is a letter from... Marsha. I'm about to build a new home, and it occurred to me that I have this opportunity to pre-wire the house for anything and everything that I may need. What do you think I should do?
It's a good idea.
You know, first of all, I'm surprised that Marsha is even building a house in this climate.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And congratulations, Marsha, that you are one of the few people who's actually building a new house
now. No small feat either.
And also congratulations that you are thinking ahead. Well, there are a number of things that you'd want to consider when you are putting together a house. You need, of course, networking.
Mm-hmm.
You need internet access.
Yes.
You need phones. You need to decide, am I going to have a TV antenna, or am I going to go with cable?
Cable or dish, for that matter.
Could be
one or the other.
Do I want home automation? Do I want audio around the house? Do I want security in the house with webcams? Do I mm-hmm. want to have a home data and entertainment server? These are all of the things that you may want to have
tech
in the
power.
House. Yeah, That's right. And now you actually have a choice. You could go wireless. There are so many wireless phone systems out there. You could mm-hmm. just have one phone connection and you could go wireless. I would think if you're going to be building the home from scratch, that I would put in Ethernet connections to wherever you need to go, and I'd put in your phone connections. And I would recommend that you, if you're going to put in Ethernet, I would use Category 6 Ethernet, because Category 6 Ethernet will ensure gigabit, will give you gigabit Ethernet, which I think if you want to kind of pass this high bandwidth signal around the house, like for multimedia, having gigabit Ethernet is certainly good. So that would be Category 6 wiring. Category 5, basically.
So you were anticipating my question.
Yeah, we'd see Category 5 will give you 100 megabits per second, but it won't give you the gigabit rates. And so mm-hmm. Category 6 is just a little higher quality cable. And I would certainly do that. In terms of the, and that'll give you a chance to pass your home entertainment signals around the house. You see, at the current standards, you can't pass home entertainment signals around wirelessly because they don't have the bandwidth. Now, I will talk later in the show about a standard where they think they're going to have a wireless standard that can pass home entertainment signals around, but I certainly would do it with Ethernet. You certainly want to put a coaxial, if you're going to go with, put TVs around the house and you're going to be connected either to dish or to cable, you're going to have coax cables around the house wherever you want your TV. So I'd run the coax cables. And so you can basically get a dual plate where you have a coax cable and an Ethernet in the same, or a coax and a phone connection there. And I would certainly put coax wherever you need it, because, you know, it's really ugly when the cable company comes out and they start draping coax around the outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I'd run all your coax down to a central point in the house, so when you finally do get either cable or dish, they can bring it into one central point and they can have a splitter down there in the basement.
And you don't
have to run cable all over the place. The cable, of course, can be used for, if you want to have a wireless router, you could hook your wireless router up to that cable connection or that coaxial connection. So you're really looking at running Cat 6 Ethernet, coaxial cable, and phone connections. Now, in terms of security, you can if you want to have webcams, you go with wireless webcams, which I would probably go with, and you just need to have the power. You just need to decide where you want to have the security cameras and have power there. I think I would just go with wireless because there's not much bandwidth there.
If they're wireless, is there a chance that somebody could intercept that video from outside?
Well, I mean, you'd use encryption. You'd encrypt it with a key. You know, you'd use a good encryption like WPA. I mean, it would. Somebody could hack into it, yeah, but it's unlikely. But if you're really worried about it, you could simply run cable up to that. And most of these cameras, you can get IP cameras, and you can just throw that data onto an Ethernet connection. So you could put an Ethernet connection wherever you want to have an Ethernet and a power connection wherever you want to have a webcam. You could run then IP cameras, and I would run IP cameras because then you can access those over the web, because that's IP is the internet protocol used on the internet. So those are just a few ideas, and have fun with your new house.
Absolutely. You're listening to the best of Tech Talk. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. The doc is away. This is Jim Ross sitting in for him today, and we'll be back with Profiles in IT here on the best of Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the best of Tech Talk. Dr. Schertz is away today. This is Jim Ross sitting in for him, but we still have all the usual stuff that you expect here on Tech Talk, including Profiles in IT.
And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, and today we're talking about Shigeru Miyamoto. You familiar with him, Jim?
I am becoming familiar with him as we speak.
Shigeru Miyamoto is a world-renowned game designer and has been called the father of the modern video game and the Walt Disney of electronic gaming. I mean, that's quite
That's saying a lot.
Pile of accolades, and I'm telling you, it is true. I've looked, I've read. He's received so many awards. I did quite a bit of research on Miyamoto, and he deserves all of those accolades. Miyamoto has been the creative mastermind behind Nintendo for the past 30 years.
Mm.
He was responsible for Donkey Kong, Mario, and The Legend of Zelda. And most recently, he was the driving force behind the Nintendo Wii, which is the system which will, the game controller which detects movement. So you can play Wii tennis or Wii exercise with it. Miyamoto was born November 16th, 1952 in Sonobe, Japan, which is near Kyoto, the ancient capital of Japan. And his father was a school teacher. Miyamoto was the second child. When he was growing up, Miyamoto wanted to make something that would astonish the world. He dreamed of being a puppeteer or a painter. Or he thought maybe making toys would be a great creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to exercise his creative energies. When he was growing up, there was a huge hole near his home. And he would go to this hole and look in it. And it turned out it was the entrance to a cave.
Uh-huh.
And he would go into the cave and he would explore it. And then he'd go in a little bit further and explore it. And then he found a passage. He went into another room. And his experiences in that cave exploration influenced his video game design strategy later on.
That's pretty interesting.
Because, as you go deeper into the cave, you're going to a higher level in the game.
Uh-huh.
There was a dog that lived next, a really a mean dog, and was always barking and snapping at him, and that became sort of the one of the characters of a barking dog that was in his games. He went to the Kanazawa College of Art. Now, the problem is he actually just loved to draw. He was kind of an artist. He'd only go to class about half time. And he had to repeat a few classes.
It took him
5 years to graduate.
Okay.
But he finally did make it. But, drawing took a back seat to his, drawing really was in the front seat and school was in
the back seat.
But when he graduated, he says, I'm really not the kind of guy that wants a 9-to-5 job. I mean, he said, I just can't handle that. And, he loved toys. And so his father contacted an old friend who ran a little toy company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this little toy, and the guy's name was Hiroshi Yamachi. And this little toy company was Nintendo. And all they made were toys. They also made, like, playing cards and that sort of
uh-huh.
thing. So he was employed by Nintendo as an artist. Now, at that time, Nintendo really didn't even have a position for an artist, but I guess he would, like, design the faces on the toys.
Sure.
And so he worked on toys. And then Hiroshi, the owner of Nintendo, in 1980, got the idea, says, why don't we try to get into, like, electronic arcades?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was given the task of coming up with the artwork for the first coin-operated arcade game. This was in 1980. So he went there just as an artist. And so then he didn't know anything. He's not a computer guy. So he went there and he was given the task of working on this coin-operated arcade. And so they came up with a game called Radar Scope. And they released it in the United States, and it was an absolute categorical dud. Nobody wanted it. They didn't really care to look at it. It was a huge bust. But Miyamoto was not one to give up easily. He went back. He reused the game's hardware. He modified Radar Scope and turned it into Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong was a huge success and actually a turning point in the video game history. That Donkey Kong is what made video games what they are today.
That's pretty funny.
Now, the game's lead character, which he initially called Jumpman and later named Mario, became Nintendo's mascot. And Mario. No, the Mario music.
Yeah, in fact, I'm trying to find some Mario music for you right now.
Now, what he does, because he's kind of a creative force, how he works at Nintendo, he actually works with around 400 people on a dozen or so projects. So there will be like, 10, 12 people on a project working on a game. And he'll go around and work with all these different teams and simultaneously be developing games in parallel. That's his sort of his method. Mm-hmm. He's not really a programmer. He's more of a of an artist who's able to translate his art into games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was the driving force behind the Wii. Now, video games are sort of losing, because people got tired of, especially adults, older people, didn't like sitting there using their thumbs to play the games. And Nintendo and Miyamoto came up with the idea, why don't we get a control panel that you don't have to push the buttons, you just wave it. And so they put accelerometers in it. So you move it, and you can play the game. And so you can hold the control panel like you're bowling a ball, and it can sense how you throw the bowling ball, and you can bowl, or you can play tennis, or you can exercise. And so the Wii has, there are all sorts of Wii sport games where you can actually exercise using the Wii. They're interactive. And it has just taken off. It was extremely successful, and it really put Nintendo up at the top. Now,
I think I found the Donkey Kong music.
Okay,
bring it up here.
Yeah, we need. Oh,
that's something.
There we go. Yeah,
that's not the thing that everybody knows. But
that's not the one everybody knows. Maybe you'll find something.
I'll find it here. Yeah.
Maybe you'll find something else. Now, here's the thing: if Miyamoto lived in the United States, he would have started his own company a long time ago and have been a multimillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the feeling that you are loyal to the company that hires you. So he has stayed with Nintendo. Now, Miyamoto's full title is Senior Managing Director and General Manager of Nintendo's Entertainment Analysis and Development Division. Now, he needs an extra large card to fit all
I'll
that
bet.
On.
I'll bet, yeah. It kind of folds up.
Now, within Nintendo, he's treated like royalty and like a cult figure. But if you look at him, he just looks like a regular employee.
Is that it? No, I don't think that's it.
No, he just looks like another loyal employee. He's, he really hasn't tried to cash in on anything. His goal is to build the Nintendo brand into something that will have long-term value, just like Disney built the Disney brand. That's why he's called the Walt Disney of electronic gaming. So he's really sort of altruistic in a sense. He has a wife and two school-aged children at their home near Kyoto. They still live in his spare time. He likes to play guitar and banjo. By the way,
is that Wii guitar and banjo? Or
no,
real,
he does not play any video games in
his
spare time at all.
That's pretty funny. I guess he does enough at the office.
That's right. Now, at the Game Developers Choice Awards in 2007, Miyamoto received the Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2007, he was in Time Magazine's top 100 most influential people. In 2008, he was at the top of the list because of the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nintendo has become one of the most valuable companies in Japan, with a net worth of around $8 billion. Nintendo's former chairman, Hiroshi Yamauchi, who's the guy who hired him as a designer back 30 years ago, is the richest man in Japan.
It's saying something.
Thanks to Miyamoto.
Japan's economy is in the tank, isn't it?
That's right.
So,
That's right. Now, Nintendo would not disclose Miyamoto's compensation, but it appears that he has not joined the ranks of the super rich.
I found some personal quotes.
Okay.
Here. A delayed game will eventually be good. A bad game is bad forever.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Video games are bad for you? That's what they said about rock and roll. And finally, what if on a crowded street you looked up and see something appear that should not, given what we know, be there? You either shake your head and dismiss it, or you accept that there is much more to the world than we think. Perhaps it is really a doorway to another place. If you choose to go inside, you may find many unexpected things. That's how his mind works, don't you think?
That's how he thinks. Mm-hmm. But this thing about a bad game will be bad forever, he has delayed many games. He's put production on hold if they didn't meet his standard. He's also taken games up to the end, and he felt they could never be saved, and he threw them out.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a very strong sense of what a quality game is.
It's a very high quality control standard.
And he imposes that. So that is our profile in IT, Shigeru Miyamoto, the Walt Disney of electronic gaming.
I hope you were paying attention, because free food rides on your answer to a question in the next few minutes here on Tech Talk. On Federal News Radio in Washington, D.C., you can hear us on 1500 AM and 103.5 FM HD2. North and west of the city, 820 AM. And in the Virginia suburbs, you can hear us on 107.7 FM HD2. Tech Talk keeps on keeping on right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, five of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz. It's option E, none of the above. Dr. Schertz is away this week. This is Jim Russ sitting in for him. And just moments ago, on the pop, rather on Profiles in IT, we spoke about Shigeru Miyamoto, who worked for Nintendo. He was a driving force behind Wii. He's the Walt Disney of computer games. While he worked for Nintendo, he came up with a game which was eventually called Donkey Kong. Now, you need to tell me what that game was called originally when it was a failure. If you know the answer to what was Donkey Kong called before it became Donkey Kong, call me now. 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, the number is 877-936-9333. The question, once again, is what was the original name of Donkey Kong? The winner to the pop quiz today gets tickets for lunch for two, fine dining at the Escoffier at Stratford University on the campus of Stratford in Falls Church, Virginia. And now we continue on with another question from the mailbag, and this has to do with free storage ideas if you're running out of space on your disk of your computer.
Well, I really do love listening to your show, but frequently I have a problem with my computer, and so I thought, well, you're always asking for email, so I'm going to send you one.
Okay.
It says, I'm running out of storage space on my hard drive. I'm on a tight budget. I'm considering using some of the free online storage tools to offload some files. Which one do you recommend? John. Well, John, free online storage is a good option for you. Now, what I would do before I would go and offload everything, I would first of all make certain that you have used all the hard drive space that you have available to your hard drive. And first of all, you can go and you can clean up the hard drive. There's a utility Okay. Both Windows and Macs, which will clean it up.
When you say make sure you've used, it could be another problem with the computer.
I think you want to free up any unused space.
Okay.
And
got it.
So there's a program called CleanUp, and it will clean up your hard drive. It will delete all of the cache files that are stored for your browser. It will delete all the temporary files. There are many download update files that, you know, they just stay on your machine after you've installed the updates. And so if you do a disk cleanup, and both Macintosh and Windows have utilities for that, it will delete all of the unused files. Then you can do a defragmentation, which will just speed it up a bit. And then you'll see where you stand in terms of these files, available files. Then you know exactly how much hard drive space you need or want to upload. But if you still need space for cleanup space and you'd like to upload some of your, say, music files, I mean, this is what happens, especially with my son. He filled up his hard drive with MP3s.
Uh-huh.
He'd worked three jobs to buy all those MP3s, I'll
bet he did, sure. And the bike.
And the bike, yeah. So it is probably worthwhile to be able to upload your MP3 files to a disk online. Then that way, from any computer, you could play them. You don't
have to
download them again. Now, there's some nice ones out there that are free. You've got Google Docs. Now, Google Docs is a pioneer in free online storage. It allows you to store up to 5,000 documents.
Wow.
Now, the documents are limited to 500K in size, and images are limited to 200 megabytes in size. But you can also have up to 1,000 sheets, and, so it's actually quite a nice system. Now, as you would expect, Microsoft wants to compete with Google. So they have the SkyDrive. The SkyDrive lets you store up to 25 gigabytes of free storage, which isn't bad. Then you have Mosey. Now, Mosey is another one of these first-generation programs that offers free online storage. It gives you up to 2 gigabytes of storage. I'd say Mosey's not as good an option as SkyDrive or Google Docs. You've got A-Drive, which is a simple free online storage program. It allows you to store 50 gigabytes of storage. Badango is another one. It gives you an unlimited amount of storage, but you can also create photo albums, music playlists, which might be the thing. It's not bad. And that's basically unlimited storage, and it gives you free other free options to manage your system. So those are a few. There are some other ones which I'll post to the web, box.net, dropbox.com, iDrive, MediaFire. There are a whole host of these free online storage options. I'll post all of those to the Tech Talk webpage. Just go to techtalkonline.com, as I'll post everything that we talk about on the show, and you can look at that list. You can also, of course, listen to the podcast after the show by going to techtalkonline.com or by going to Apple iTunes and looking up Stratford University Tech Talk.
So I've got questions here.
Sure.
How secure is this?
Well, it's as secure as any online resource. Mm-hmm. I would not put up there my confidential banking material.
Okay.
I'm talking about music, you know, I'm talking about video files, things that are not of critical use. I don't think I would put all my online banking and critical passwords up there.
No. Now, beyond secure, so you're saving this on somebody else's server, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suppose the Google server rolls over and plays dead.
Well,
all your stuff's gone, right?
Google in particular is a highly redundant system. And
really?
They have it's highly redundant, and their system is set up where it's like multiple inexpensive drives all together, but the data is stored in a redundant way. And so if one drive goes out, it's going to dynamically recreate itself.
Is it better maybe to do like an external drive or a thumb drive or something like that, maybe?
You could. This is the budget problem.
This is the budget. This is a free way to do it.
Yeah. The reason he wants something free. Yeah. You can buy an external hard drive, and you can get a terabyte hard drive for a couple hundred dollars now. I mean, the prices have just dropped on external hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
A thumb drive may be too expensive because a 4 gigabyte thumb drive is going to cost you $40, and you can get a much more space with a you know, with an external hard drive. But we're talking a couple hundred dollars now. That's what I have at home. I have a couple of external USB hard drives at home, and I set them up as shared hard drives, and so all the computers on the home network can use the same hard drive. So that way, you know, if I have a document that I want to share with anybody else, although as it turns out, I'm the only one who can really at the home could look at the shared document file, so it's not like a major event. But I do that. So I would probably, in myself, I would just use an external hard drive plugged into a USB port to store all my MP3s. And I used to have actually three external hard drives, and my son took one with him back to college.
But he took a fourth job so he could pay you back for it, right?
Yeah, so that's right. He took an external hard drive back to school with him so he could store all of his MP3s.
That he got legally with
yes,
the three other jobs.
That's exactly right.
Oh.
So there you go, John. That's about all you ever wanted
everything
to know about free online storage.
Well, that's good. I'm sorry, I missed the free part of that. That's why I asked about the thumb drives. You're listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. We had a winner on the line for the pop quiz. However, he has dropped off. So Dan and Bowie, if you're listening to us, call us back now at 877-936-9333. We'll get you right on the air after the break. If we don't hear from Dan, we'll open the question back up to the floor. The question was, what was the original name for the game Donkey Kong? The version of it that was a failure. If you know the answer to that question, call us now at 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. You're listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2, and we've had to carry over. It looks like our original winner, Dan, is calling back in now. So, Andrew, if you'll get Dan on the phone here. Oh, he went away. Okay. So we got somebody else who's got the answer. Let's go to Lewis, who's hanging out on line one. Hi, Lewis. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. Now, the answer to the question, what was the original name for Donkey Kong? Do you know the answer to that question?
Radar Scope.
Radar Scope. You are the winner today, Lewis. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. Hang on the phone. Andrew will get your stuff, and we'll send those tickets right off in the mail to you. Again, the answer was Radar Scope. And while we're thinking about it, our winner last week was Marty Kaplan of Falls Church, Virginia. So, Marty, congratulations to you for winning the best of Tech Talk last week. Now, we're going to talk about something that is a surprising moment for a lot of you folks who have kids who have cell phones.
You know, my neighbor has a daughter that just got a new cell phone with web access with a browser built in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of an interesting thing, you know, because they had talked to her about not making too many cell phone calls and not doing too much in text messaging. But she just loved this surfing the web. And so she went And she found YouTube has a cell phone version. So she went to YouTube and started like playing YouTube videos over the cell phone. It turns out that YouTube creates a huge data transfer rate.
Oh, I'll bet.
And so in addition to cell phone minutes and text messaging minutes, there are data transfer limits. And her parents did not get her unlimited data transfer.
Oh,
so
no.
At the end of the first month, the bill for the cell phone was $400.
Oh, my goodness.
Mostly data transfer.
Wow.
Without even knowing it. So,
wow.
So this is kind of a warning to you parents out there. If you get one of these cell phones that's got a browser on it that can get web access, either warn your kids not to use YouTube or buy the unlimited data package. And if you go to Verizon, you can get unlimited data package for $49 a month in addition to your regular cost, which is better than $400 a month.
Yeah.
or just simply disable the browser.
That was my next question, because sometimes they don't listen.
That's just a simple warning. I'm a little worried because I've got a new cell phone.
You do.
Here.
It's good thing David Byrne's not here to bust your chops
and it's,
about.
And it's got a browser, and I've been looking around on the net.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried when I look at my first bill.
Yeah.
I may have done the same thing myself.
Probably.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk about, you know, there's some interesting names in technology, and you know what's in a name. Let's go through some of the simple names like Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've heard of Adobe software. They have Adobe PageMaker. They've got Adobe PDF. Portable document file, PDFs, and Adobe has a lot of products for graphic design. Well, Adobe came from the river Adobe Creek that ran behind the house of the founder, John Warnock. So Adobe came from Adobe Creek. Now, Apache, this is the server that is actually, it's open source server. And it actually is normally run either with the Linux operating system. So I'd say 70% of the web servers on the internet are Apache. Well, it got its name because its founders started using code which was written for the National Supercomputer Applications Server. They, of course, NCSA. These are the guys that came up with the first web browser, and they'd written a web server. So they started writing code that would sort of patch the code that was on the NCSA server, and so they created a server with a lot of patches, so it became Apache server. And so they called it Apache server.
Works for me.
And then they renamed it like the Apache Indians, but it came from Apache server, P-A-T-C-H-Y.
Sounds so much more impressive. Thinking it was named after the Apache Indians.
I know it does. Mm-hmm. Now, say Apple Computers is derived from the favorite fruit of the founder, Steve Jobs. Now, he was 3 months late in filing the name for the business. And they were co-founders of the thing. And Steve said, look, he said, if you guys don't come up by a name by 5 o'clock today, I'm just going to call this after my favorite. I'm just going to call this Apple Computers.
Kind of stuck, didn't it?
They couldn't come up with a name, and so, well, now we've got Apple Computers.
Is history.
Now, you've heard of Cisco routers.
Of course.
Now, I always thought Cisco was actually an acronym, but actually Cisco came from
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's where they are. So Cisco is from San Francisco. Now, Corel software. They also make some image manipulation software. It's derived from the founder's name, Dr. Michael Kaupland. It stands for Kaupland Research Laboratory. Corel, Kaupland. I guess C O is from Kaupland, then R is from research, E is from research, and then L is from laboratory.
Wow.
Kaupland Research Laboratory. That's kind of a stretch. But
yeah, well,
it's okay.
It's kind of cool.
I think
of like some sort of, it almost sounds like some sort of China or dinnerware.
Yeah.
Corel dinnerware. Yeah, never mind.
It does. Now,
sorry.
Google search originally came from the name Google, G-O-O-G-O-L.
Mm-hmm.
Google. The word stands for the number one followed by 100 zeros. It's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the founders, Stanford grad students Sergey Brin and Larry Page, presented their project to an angel investor, and when they got out a check, he misspelled it, and he called it G-O-O-G-L-E. So the name stuck because that's what the check
works
from the founder came in.
This is the best of Tech Talk. You're listening to us on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. And you can find us online at techtalkonline.com. That's a great place for you to write us an email and send the doc a question. You can learn more about Stratford University by going to stratford.edu. We'll be back with more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. And we are now going to take a walk into the kitchen and talk about the best way to cook vegetables here on the best of Tech Talk.
Now it is time for
food science.
Food science.
We need to have a little...
We need a little...
Mr. Big Voice needs to come
back. We need
back.
A Mr. Big Voice for food science.
I think so.
I like to have a food science section in honor of the Culinary Arts Department,
yes,
where we've got baking and pastry, and we just built the most fantastic kitchens down at our new Woodbridge campus. Four large production kitchens, a big dining room. Plus, we have the same quality of facility at Tyson's Corner, so we really are proud of that particular part of the school. That, of course, is completely different than our software engineering part, because we teach really to whatever high demand fields there are so that we can train graduates.
People always got to eat, right?
But in honor of the Culinary Arts Department, we have the food science section. And today we're going to talk about cooking vegetables without losing nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of got into this, too, because of our healthy cooking, our health science programs. The question is, how do you cook properly? A recent study in the UK showed that boiling vegetables that are members of the cruciferous family, this would be like cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, significantly reduces their anti-cancer properties. Anti-cancer ingredient was destroyed when you boiled, and it is called glucosinolate is the actual chemical, and that was destroyed when it was boiled. The glucosinolate is an important compound that converts inside of the body to a cancer-fighting chemical called isocyanate, which helps remove cancer-causing components from the system.
Mm-hmm.
When these vegetables are boiled, most of the compound is important compounds destroyed along with all the cancer-protective properties, which is not a good thing.
No.
Now, also, when you cook vegetables, you lose a lot of the vitamins and nutrients when you boil them. And the preponderance of evidence suggests that there's really quite a bit of truth to this. It's been shown that when we boil vegetables, a considerable amount of the vitamins leach into the cooking water, and then they're poured down the drain.
Wow.
Now, this varies depending on how much water you use and how long you cook it, and whether you put it in whether you put the vegetables in when they're hot and how long you leave it in, it's quite a bit of, there are variations, but in fact, you lose all the nutrients. And so, here's the key. You don't want to cook your vegetables in water. The key is you want to heat the vegetables up to the proper temperature, but then don't let them be sitting in water. And the best way to do that is by steaming the vegetables. You see, if you take and steam the vegetables, they actually are kept moist, but there is no water to leach out the various the various vitamins and to destroy the anti-cancer properties. Now, they also discovered that if you stir-fry vegetables, you have the same effect. That also does not...
That also does not... That's good to know.
It doesn't kill the vitamins, and it also doesn't kill the cancer-fighting chemicals. So stir-fry and steaming are the preferred ways to cook vegetables.
It says microwaving doesn't hurt them either?
Microwaving is not bad either because you're not basically putting them in water. So basically, cooking them in boiling water is the worst way to cook vegetables, and that's the way that, well, unfortunately, most people cook them.
And then going by this, everything basically that's in a can, canned vegetables, probably aren't that good for you.
They've they're just soaking in water.
Well, if you mess up the vegetables, just have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Now it's time for the food science section.
Yeah.
And I talked earlier about my... really unfortunate experience at a wine tasting where they brought out all 13 bottles of wine and they had been previously opened and they were oxidized.
Uh-oh.
And when wine oxidizes, the aroma changes, the flavor changes, the color might change.
And not for the better.
Not for the better. And it does affect the consumer's ability to enjoy the wine properly.
Meaning you.
Meaning me. I did not,
and we know how the dog likes his wine.
I did not enjoy that wine that much. I did drink all 13 samples because, well, I didn't want to waste it.
Of course not. You paid $4.50
I paid for it, and we're going to drink it all. I'm going to suffer through it. Now, wine can oxidize in as little as 2 to 8 hours, and the oxidation depends on the type of wine, how quickly it will oxidize once you open the bottle. Now, there are various ways to keep wine preserved. Primarily, these all revolve around trying to keep it away from oxygen.
Uh-huh.
That's the key. Now, the cheapest way to do it, I've never done this, but, you know, some people might do it, is that you drink half a bottle of wine, and then if you cork it, then you've got air in the top half of the bottle.
Yeah.
So some people simply have a half bottle of wine, and they pour the wine into a smaller bottle so there's no air at the top.
That's
and then they cook
idea.
That. So they rebottle it. So they have various size bottles, and they just rebottle the wine in a smaller bottle. And you just keep those bottles around. I really have never done that, but I suppose you could do that. Now, other people have, this is an idea that I don't know if I'd do this. They just drop marbles in the wine and they bring the level up to the top of the bottle.
First of all, let's make sure the marbles are clean.
You want to make sure the marbles are. And the problem is then when you pour out your wine, a marble may fall into the wine glass. I'm thinking this is more like a kid's way to do it.
That sounds like a kid's way of messing up a good evening is what it sounds like.
But you see, I'm sorry, have you lost your marbles? I mean,
In your wine glass.
In your wine glass.
Well, here's what I can see the marbles doing. The marbles then, because they're heavier, go to the neck, and then you can't get any wine out of them.
I know. So, but I'm giving all the options.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
Kind of, it's a trade-off here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also, for $10, you could buy a spray of an inert gas.
Mm-hmm.
It could be argon, it could be nitrogen. And this spray has like a little tube in it. And so what you do is, after you use the bottle of wine, you just spray a little bit of gas in the bottle and then cork it. And now the spray, or the argon gas, is heavier than air, so it settles on top of the wine, and it isolates it from the oxygen.
Forms a protective barrier between the wine, and that's pretty neat.
That's right. Now, this will extend the life of a bottle of wine for up to a week.
Wow.
Now, my problem, Jim, wine never lasts in my house a week.
That's right. Not in his house. You're listening to the best of Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. The Doc is back next week, so tune in next Saturday at 9 for Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
If you missed us, the replay of Tech Talk is at 5 o'clock this evening here on Federal News Radio. Then at 6:30, coverage of the Nats and Marlins from sunny Florida here on Federal News Radio. It's going to be mostly sunny today, a high of near 73 degrees. Right now outside, it is going to be 60.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, and serving clients throughout the Washington, D.C. metro area